Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy. KFC Supercoach AFL is back. Play now at supercoach.com.au.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Ow! I see assholes like you every day.
James Brayshaw.
Every day.
Billy Brownless.
Is this moron number one?
Sail away, was it?
Put moron number two on the phone.
Sail away, stop ya!
What the hell is wrong with you two?
Everybody's working overtime.
Listen to the Rush Hour.
Triple M.
I feel good.
Well, people feel good, they listen to us anyway, but when we get deep into September and old Bins starts really flying with some of his best stuff, the audience just grows and grows and grows. Damien Barrett going to join us, talk footy, big prelim final weekend, of course. We also take a trip down memory lane, old Fat doing the Brownlow and... some of my best memories of doing this show were that Brownlow show where I'd throw to Fat knowing he had no idea who he was talking to. And, of course, then a joke closes it out. Hello to you, Willis.
Hey, g'day, Jimmy boy. Great to be with you. Hope you're well over there in Perth. Beautiful day here in Melbourne. G'day, yes. Rabs.
Is that it?
Anyway, that's it.
That's it.
Oh, the NBA, Jim. What about that today?
What happened?
Well, I'll tell you. Oh, mate, the Heat defeated whoever they played, right? All over it. All over it, Timmy boy. How are you going there? And how's Brian?
Thank you, Brian. Oh, no, he's going beautifully, bro. He just fixes things. That's what he does. This house, I don't know the people that own it, but when they come back to it, it'll be the best operating house in the whole of Western Australia.
Not a great weekend for Geelong and Port Adelaide supporters, but a great weekend for Aussie sport.
I come from a land on a love.
6'4". How long we got?
Yeah, men at work, yep.
Yeah, men at work. Daniel Ricciardo, Jimmy boy,
he's
finally had a win after 3 years of not winning, of course. He won the Italian Grand Prix, Jim.
On course for his first victory since Monaco in 2018. He left Red Bull, he went to Renault, he's gone to McLaren, he's going to get the victory now. It's McLaren and Ricciardo that win the Italian Grand Prix.
Deep down, I knew this was going to come, so thanks for having my back. And for anyone who thought I left, I never left. Just moved aside for a while.
No, it was brilliant. And I'll tell you how I know it was brilliant. I haven't watched a Grand Prix, I reckon, for 15 years.
Yeah.
Bristle is a mad Grand Prix fan. So he said to me, right, we're watching the Grand Prix. I said, fair enough. Not much else we're doing. I watched it, Bill, from start to finish.
No.
It was unbelievable. And Verstappen and Hamilton, the big crash halfway around.
Yeah.
And,
wow.
I mean, it was nuts, actually. But well done to Daniel Ricciardo, who's had a poxy run at it, but he was brilliant last night.
Spot on. I think you had a go at him last week. But his eighth victory in Formula One, so
did
well
not.
Done him. And did a shoey. Oh, another great Aussie. Dylan Alcott, Jim.
Yes.
He has won. Have a listen to this. The Wheelchair Tennis Golden Slam, the Aussie Open, the French Open, the Wimbledon, the Olympic gold medal, and the US Open. That is a golden slam.
Oh. It's Bennett. And what a way to do it. It is history. So Dylan Alcott.
I just can't believe I just won the golden slam. I used to hate myself so much. I hated my disability. I didn't even want to be here anymore. And I found tennis, and it changed and saved my life. And now I've become the only male ever in any form of tennis, I think, to win the Golden Slam, which is pretty cool.
Oh, that is fantastic. Well done, Dilsa.
Amazing.
And you know what he did? He had a frothy out of his cup. And Ricciardo had a frothy out of his shoe. There's something in that for the Aussies.
So what? The Golden Slam is what?
The Golden Slam is the Aussie, the French, the Wimbledon, the Olympic Games, and the US Open. What do you ask for?
The Wimbledon.
The Wimbledon.
The Wimbledon, they call it. Over there on the grass, a patch of grass they got over there, and they eat strawberries, the fool's heads over there. Speaking of Aussies, what about the Wallabies have had a win, Jim?
Oh, yes, finally.
Yeah, defeated South Africa. It wasn't New Zealand, but they've had a win.
No.
Well done to them. So great weekend of sport for the Aussies there. The Storm, how good were the Storm
Rugby
the other
league.
Night?
Football League.
That's it. Smash the Seagulls. Pappenhausen now was back. He had a couple of tries. One line break, 150 run metres. Knocked through 2-point field goals, Jim. Put the icing on the cake. And I'm reading all this, as you would probably be aware of. Did you have a look at the US Open?
Oh, I didn't, but I saw the score. Medvedev.
Medvedev. He defeated Djokovic now in straight sets, Jim. 6-4, 6-4, 6-4.
He did a number on him. And I'll tell you what happens with the Joker is the world of tennis supports whoever they like.
Yep.
So you might be a Roger Federer fan or you might be a Medvedev. You follow him and you follow whoever's playing against Djokovic.
That's right. He's spot on. Spot on, Jim. Now, do you watch the girls? It wasn't the women's. I'm sure it was the girls. 18-year-old versus a 19-year-old. Unbelievable.
Amazing qualifier. First time it's ever happened. So, yeah. Did you see what Brad Pitt was wearing, by the way?
No.
He had a terry toweling hat on and chick sunglasses.
Oh, come on, Brad. Still.
No, mate. And as Lisa, my partner, as you know, loves tennis, as she said, if you're trying not to be seen, don't sit next to Bradley Cooper. Anyway, it was a wonderful performance. Well done with the sports wrap, Fat, but we didn't need to get Damo into the show.
Oh, for selfwealth.com.au, this is Triple M's Rush Hour. JB and Bins.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
You been to Athens?
Yeah, I've been there. Oh, I did a cashy there, Jim.
Get out of here.
Yeah, and the cash bounced. That's how bad they're going.
Oh,
JB and Billy, this is Triple M's Rush Hour, and for 4 and 20, Damien Barrett is going to chat preliminary finals.
Wrapping up the weekend of footy.
Get purple in here and discuss footy.
This is Damo's recovery session. Footy isn't footy without a hot 4 and 20.
Oh.
Find your favourite 4 and 20 in your local supermarket freezer aisle or convenience store pie warmer today.
Oh, he's out and about too. It's a dangerous purple. He's been locked up in Perth.
Yes.
And then he's been released. And Fat, he is out and about. Welcome to you, Purple.
Hello, Jim. Yes, I'm, 7 or 8 days ahead of you and your status with quarantine. I was able to get out just before the Friday night game, the Geelong-Melbourne game at Optus Stadium. And, yeah, a couple of days back into the system of being a normal, or once a normal human being.
And also, Jim, I'm hearing very, very popular for maybe a lunch or a after-dinner speaker. Yes.
No.
Damien?
Keynote speaker, Bill.
Oh, keynote.
No. No.
Oh, I've had to knock him back, actually. Oh. I'm getting the diary's that full. Of
Have a listen to this.
Oh. Well, the market's
and also
up,
I'm hearing our man, because he has been locked away, fair to say, 14 days of the hotel room, so he's out and about, and he's finding people with phones and sidling up next to them saying, do you want some of this action?
Oh.
That's what I'm hearing.
A lot of photos, Damien.
They're
photos
finding me, Jim.
Everywhere.
They're finding me. So they seem to have a fascination with us, we people in the media over here. So it's actually the town. You'll notice this, Jim, when you do get out. The town is embracing every aspect of this. It's a good feel, a genuinely good feel around Perth about what's happening. And
well,
obviously
I,
the two matchups.
I am already West Australian royalty, so I haven't been able to walk around that joint for bloody years, let alone grand final week. But I tell you now, we have got the best grand final. They're the two best teams for me over the course of the year, so it's a ripping grand final.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? The midfields of both teams, they just bat so deep, don't they? And they've got wingmen who are important. They've got stoppers if they need them. They've got players who are unstoppable on both sides of the fence. And yeah, it's just going to be who wins the shootout in that component, aren't they? And even with the dynamic of Steph Martin coming back into the Bulldogs team to go with Tim English, I mean, how that looks against Luke Jackson and Max Gorn, it to me, Jim, is as intriguing a matchup as we're going to get in the grand final. If they can somehow nullify and quell the Jackson-Gorn combination, which was at its absolute best in the prelim final win with Gorn kicking five and Jackson playing the role in their final win. So it's, I just love the midfield battle, which is going to be at play here.
Have you seen any of you, Rabs, you can be included in this too. Have you seen a better prelim final played by a footballer than Max Gorn on Friday night?
No.
Possibly maybe Wayne Carey in the 1994 losing one to Bills Mob Geelong. I thought that was a great game. No, I can't though, Jim.
Mason Cox?
Mason Cox for a 15-minute period of the second quarter of that 2018 one, Bill. Yeah, I mean, it's up there. But no, to think he could kick five goals and the manner in which he kicked them, he roved some, didn't he? That long bomb from the centre when Petrarca got it back to him, and he didn't just kick it from 55. But if you actually look at it, the ball went about row five. It went through with velocity and... Some of those roving goals, Bill, were amazing. The overhead marking, which we've
known he's
got. Out of the ruck. No, to answer your question, Jim, I don't think there has been a better game, unless you're going to throw one up that I've forgotten.
No, I'm not. I can't think of one. And Bill, the outside of the boot banana from 50, Drew Petrie VS and then at the G style and Frank the Tank. You don't get that from a bloody 220-centimetre ruckman.
No. And the last time I've seen a really good outside banana of the boot was Craig Hutchison in the EJ Witten game. So that's how far we've got to go back. But he just dominated. And you know what I loved? And Geelong have done this, and they put me out of my misery. Thank God for that. But the Geelong come out, and they're all serious, and they're all fair dinkum, and, this is a prelim, and... I was watching Maxi Gawn again. He runs out, he's high-fiving, he's having a bit of fun. They just are having fun. They're enjoying their footy. Beautifully coached by Goody. He's done a fantastic job. Yep. So, but they're just so relaxed and enjoying their footy, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. I just had the thought the other day, Jim and Bill. This guy is now on the verge of being officially a legend of that footy club. I mean, you've got the names like Barassi and Cordner. Ian Ridley's another one. Ivor Warren-Smith. There's only five of them. I think if he gets a premiership, and given that he's had five All-Australian jackets now out of the past 6 years, he's every bit as worthy as being that person. And yeah, the form he's been in this year. I mean, we've talked about Petrarca and Oliver all year, but he's only been a half head behind them in some people's views. And his ability to play that game in round 23, which got them top spot on the ladder, which gave them the saloon passage run, and then to do what he did in the prelim final, it's just an extraordinary footy story, as you know. He's only played 158 games, too, despite being on a list since 2009 when he was drafted. A lot of injury troubles early days.
I'm with you. I think if he continues in this fashion, he may well be the best ruckman we've ever seen, as in
ever.
The modern era. You know, ever. I mean, I know you're going back, you know, but Simon Madden and those blokes are probably a bit before our time, even though we saw a bit of him. But, you know, post that, I mean, Dean Cox was an extraordinary ruckman.
Dean Cox, he's in that conversation.
Brad Ottens.
But, Brad Ottens was wonderful. More a forward ruckman. He was superb. But I just think, he needs two or three more seasons at this level, but if he contributes for three more years the way he is now, he may be the best we've seen.
No, it's just unbelievable what he's doing. We must talk about the Dogs, of course, here with the all the positives, Damo. And done to the Western Bulldogs, of course. They've done it the hard way again. They love this backs to the wall, us against them. I've got a question, boys. So if they win it this year, if they win it, what's a better win? 2016, where they went to Perth, they were gone. Then they had to come back and play the Hawks. Then they had to play the Giants and won that. Or this one, 2021, where they've been to five different states and they've been everywhere.
I'll go with the first one, Bill, because they were fighting history as well, weren't they, at that stage? And this is a bit different. I think they're even benefiting from knowing that they can do it this time around. I mean, what you've thrown up there with the logistical issues relating mostly to COVID and the fact that they're still going to be in quarantine for most of this week is another layer to what you're talking about there. But I'll go with 2016 to answer that question.
Jim?
I'm more leaning on this one because of what you've just said, but also, Damo, we did Hawthorn and the Dogs in Launceston, and they were awful, and they lost three in a row. I just remember looking at them thinking, they're shot. They are gone, this mob. They were going, for want of a better term, they were going like a busted ass. And now, to turn it around and play as emphatically as they did on Saturday night, Bevo, the whole lot, credit to them. So I reckon this one might actually be a better one.
Yeah, okay, well, there you go. So we get two different answers there, Bill, to a very good question. I like it.
Hey, but you got to say well done to Bevo, and he might come up in your negatives, Damo. But, mate, he can coach. There's no doubt he can coach. But the way he's thrown the players around this year, they've played everywhere. But also, he's not scared to drop players during the year. Yep. And now he's got this group of, I don't know, 28 players that any of them could come in and play.
Yeah, you're right, Bill. And the roles he gives some of the lesser lights. I mean, to persevere with a guy like a Rourke Smith, who's been a rookie-listed player his entire 7 years on an AFL list, where he's had two knee reconstructions and has only played 37 games of footy, but to have faith in him to play a role, which he's now been doing and has earned a place in a grand final team. You've also got, I reckon it's a great story, the Josh Shackey story, Jim. The fact that many times at his second club, having gone number two in the draft, overall number two, that is, at Brisbane Lions, and then to almost look like his career was over as far back as recently as round 19 this year when he came back into the team and even had some issues even since he's been back. But to the role that he gave him to play on Alir Alir on the weekend and to then deliver it and have faith in delivering it, having already had, I think, a good final the previous week where he just created space for Norton and even back into the elimination final against Essendon, just did stuff, enough stuff to know that he's, again, he's earned his spot. And then you got to Bailey Smith, Bill, who I've been obsessed with for a long time. But to kick four goals in a preliminary final, a career best, following an equal career best three in a semi-final, on top of the one goal he kicked in the elimination final, eight goals out of the three finals. But not just the goals he's kicking. He's, you can't go with him. If it's going to be Ed Langdon who goes with him, or maybe Angus Brayshaw, but I think it would be more the motor requirements of Ed Langdon in the grand final. Well, good luck. Yeah. Good luck.
He's a last quarter specialist, isn't he? He just kicks goals. I tell you what, the three Baileys on the weekend were outstanding Sunday night. Bailey Smith, as you said. Bailey Dale, and what a move to put him on the half-back flank, and he's had a great year. And, geez, I love Bailey Williams. He's a big boy, and he's playing some good footy also.
Yeah.
He's had a very good year, Bailey Williams, underrated footballer. Mitch Hannon's the other one. I mean, to grab him from Melbourne, a lot of people thought, what the hell are they doing that for? You know, I don't really see how he's going to fit into what they're doing. He was absolutely superb. Five shots at goal. And kicked them when it really mattered early. So, credit to the list management there and Bevo. They've done a really good job.
Absolutely, Jim. And I mean, the Hannon sort of mould is that one that Beveridge likes. The big body, the one you can trust, and the footy smarts that come with it. I mean, he's very good with hand. He only needs it five times to have an impact on a game of footy and to come out of a prelim final with three goals. Well, yeah, it franks the recruiting of him full stop.
So for me, I know we're about to get to the negatives. For me, we're a week and a half away from the grand final. I can't tell you who's winning it. That is brilliant.
Yeah, that is very good. Melbourne would have to be favourites. There's no doubt about that. I don't know if I've seen a better team.
He's only just.
Yeah, they were white hot. And then you thought, oh, this will be a good game Saturday night. And then the way the dog started. So it will be great. And you could only imagine if it was back here. I know you two flogs are over in Perth.
Oh, no.
But if it was here, Melbourne v. the Western Bulldogs. I actually wouldn't be here. I'd be at a lunch right now. But
would you, Bill?
How good would it be? How good would it be if it was at the G? Wow.
You'd be getting all those gigs and I'm getting over here to it, Bill.
Well, would be, don't
they? Yeah, and no, Bill would be undercutting you too. He does them for about $260.
We need to get to a break. Ryan.
We are coming back with the negatives next with Purple.
It's the Rush Hour, Triple M.
This is Damo's Recovery Session on Triple M's Rush Hour.
JB and Bill, this is Triple M's Rush Hour, and for 4 and 20, Damien Barrett is in the studio to chat preliminary finals.
All right, so Purple, in my time at North Melbourne on the board, we played in three prelims. One, we played pretty well in against West Coast at Subi. The other two, we got absolutely belted in. And you know what amazed me at the time is how angry people get with you. Oh. The amount of people that came up to me and said, Jesus, you're a mob of crap. I cannot stand North Melbourne. I'm like, we only got to a prelim. We did our best. But it's the same with these two games on the weekend. How many people did you speak to going, oh, Jesus, I've had enough of the Cats? Or Port Adelaide, never again. Yeah. Like they get, it's
and
genuine
the coaches,
anger
and the
people
coaches,
have.
Jim.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's weird.
I think because they've both teased, I feel, Jim, for a while, and both, and particularly Port Adelaide, was convincing or trying to convince the footy world as much as themselves, maybe, that this was the year, that this was the year they were going to finally go through with it. I think there's that aspect to be factored in. You've got to also, too, with Geelong, I feel there's obviously a home and away Geelong and then a finals Geelong. Yeah. And finals Geelong just doesn't work. It just does not work. I know it got through to a grand final last year.
You say that, but they've been in a granny last year and a prelim. I mean, that's winning finals. You don't get to grand finals and prelims without winning them.
No, but they still lost a final last year as well, Jim, just to get there. Now, I've been the greatest advocate for the top-up mentality and the top-up model to try and win for the now, but you've got to take some messaging out of what the situation tells you, and that is that it doesn't work. And maybe I think when I talk about Geelong too, maybe it's the style of footy also doesn't work. Maybe that stop, flow, methodical game of footy, maybe that's all also part of it too in terms of what needs to be reviewed. I mean, Bill, you watch it closer than I do, but they just could not find a way through. Even after they got a little bit of system going on the weekend, they'll never, ever going to retrieve that early deficit they had, and they weren't able to because they don't play a brand of footy that gets inside the opposition by way of surprise.
Yeah, but they were banged up too. They were slow.
Yeah.
The other night, their backman, the leg rope they gave the forwards, they just hit up early. Midfield was smashed, and I looked in the centre all the time, and there was Joel and Danger, both banged up. They just had no one else to run through there. Parford wasn't playing. They had young Holmesy in there and a couple, but they just had nothing in there. They were just done. They were cooked. And the last month, you could nearly say, they've been cooked, really.
Yeah, and as we discussed on the Saturday Rub, there were seven players that required a significant injection just to get out there. So that's a number that's too
great, as a rule.
Which happens.
What about the other one with the?
Well, you revealed this gastro/sickness/illness that was going through the club, which is clearly at play, and they don't want their own words attached to any excuses around this.
No.
But as you say, it happened, Bill, and you dropped that as a news story on the Saturday Rub, and it was picked up by a lot of people, and clearly something happened there, but ultimately they lost a prelim final by 80 points, and that's the only thing that the history books are going to acknowledge. And that's similar to the Port Adelaide situation, Jim, and you look at that and they've lost one by 71 points. So
for me, Damo, the biggest issue for Ken and Chris Scott, you can strip it all back, but both teams were minus 30 contested footy in a prelim final. That is a smashing. That's just not getting beaten. That's getting obliterated. So if you're Ken Hinckley and you're Chris Scott, you're sitting there going, well, okay, we can talk about it, all the peripheral stuff and all of that's important enough. But if you can't win the ball in the contest in a final, you're going to get belted, and both teams got belted.
Yeah, they did. They did. And look, I don't think too many people in our space throw this word around too much these days for good reason, but they choked. There's just no other way of looking at it. They had everything go right for them for at least the last month and maybe even 6 weeks when players were coming back, and then by that stage of the season, they'd had some continuity in those fitness campaigns, and then they get to a prelim with effectively a full list from which to choose, with football in each of their key players who'd had some injury concerns during the course of the year and just were not cited. And you then look at it, Jim, and look, I don't think there's going to be any issues with him coaching next year, Ken, but the 9 years he's had, three prelim finals, as you attest, that they are hard to get to, they're harder to win. Ooh. But he's lost all three, two by a kick, but the most recent one by a damning 71 points.
Mm. All right, so Luke Beveridge and his reaction to the criticism of Adam Treloar. I think we've got some audio, Rabbits. Let's roll that.
Some of that stuff was just nasty. You know, there's probably one, two or three people who, you know, if you're going to fail in life, like fail at something that is noble. If you're failing at trying to pull people apart and bring them down, like two or three journalists did this week, I don't know how people around you can live with you, how they can lie in bed with you, how they can look at themselves in the mirror. It's just nasty.
So where are you sitting with that, Damo?
Spare me the big picture talk, Luke Beveridge, please. I mean, to referring to nasty and noble causes and then to refer to the partners of people in media. I mean, just leave that stuff alone, Luke. I mean, if someone in the media had dared gone down that path, and no one would, by the way, but if someone had, can you imagine the reaction that he would have about a media person referring to the partners of players lying next to them? I don't know too many people in footy, Jim, who would want the spotlight shone on every aspect of every single life. And I'm only raising that because why go there? Why does he need to go there in that space? If he wants to protect his player, fine, well and good, protect him. But I certainly didn't personally hear anything that was untoward about the criticism of Adam Treloar in that semi-final. He played a dreadful game of footy. He's their big name recruit on a lot of money. It's an entitled and valid position to take if you are a football commentator to query what he did in that game. Have I misread any of that in your eyes?
No, criticism comes with the territory, unfortunately. I mean, if you, Bill, you played 200 games. If you don't want to cop criticism, don't play footy at the highest level. I mean, it's just, it's as night follows day. And yes, some of it might be unwarranted. And yes, in the modern era, 2021 era, some of it might be, you know, extra harsh. And I do think there is a bit of that in the media. If someone goes hard, someone then feels like they've got to go harder. It becomes a bit of a, you know, I'll say something more dramatic than what you just said. There is a bit of that. But, I mean, that's the thing. If you don't want to be criticised, don't play the game.
But you're judging his performance there and then, as you said, Damo, and it was a poor performance. And he would say that. I'm sure even Treloar would say that, you know. And he bounced back, which was fantastic.
I mean, but to talk about noble pursuits, I mean, we talk about footy. I mean, they're playing footy. I mean, let's not get too deep in what it is we all do. Let's just analyse the game, play the game, talk about the game. But, that phrase about people around you and living with you and lying next to you in bed, I mean, I don't know where he thinks that's going anyway, apart from another layer of what he does so well, and that is creating this us against the world, which has worked. Yeah. And again, look, let's as part of this conversation, acknowledge, as we did in the first segment of this show today, the genius that he is. I mean, he's a complete coaching genius, and I just think he's gone too far on one aspect of that genius that he is.
All right, so I don't want this to sound to be a part of the negatives. It's just a question. The list players from Melbourne piling out on the ground after the game, which is what we see happen after a grand final win, but I don't reckon I've ever seen it in any other. What did we think of that? I had a smile on my face, and then after about 5 minutes, I thought, that's unusual. I don't reckon I've seen that before.
I did notice in Melbourne players, Jim, I did see the and the dogs do it, And I actually think it's just a it's a travel party perspective to what's going on with COVID. I haven't thought about it until you asked the question when I think about it, Jim, but they're obviously in it all together. And the joy on all their faces, I think it's empowering too. Mm. Players are going to miss out on games of footy they would like to play in, aren't they, and have already, and will miss grand finals that they're fit to play in. So I like it, but you're right. It's normally just post-grand final, isn't it? Not part of the journey along the way.
Yeah, but it was just such an authentic reaction to winning both of those games, you know. And I had a huge smile on my face, and I thought, wow, I don't actually think I've seen that before. So, what do the Cats do now? Like we spoke about on Saturday, I said I think Steve Hocking is perfect to come in and sharpen the place up. But what do they do? What's the first sort of point of business for them?
That's a good question. They've got to get on the same page, don't they, with what the list is and what they want it to be, I think, in stages, 2022, 23, 24, because there needs to be some form of reconciling, doesn't there, with the recruiting, even most recently last year, of Jeremy Cameron, 3 first-round draft picks. Now, I know they got 2 second-round draft picks back, but ultimately, 3 first-round draft picks were required. Obviously, also, too, bringing in an Isaac Smith, who was good all year, and also a Sean Higgins, who was good at times in 2021. But bringing those types of players in, where's that fit in to what they think the list is going to be at right now? I think there needs to be some tougher decisions made on some players. I don't not claim to know what has to happen now with Gary Rowan and Dalhouse and some other players of that type. What they do, Bill, as you know, with Jordan Clark, who just simply cannot get a look in. Yeah. Quinton Narkle, they've just chosen not to play despite being fit and despite having injuries. So I think they need to sort all that out first and then get Stephen Hocking and Brian, and not Brian Cook, but Stephen Hocking and also Chris Scott to then work out what it is they see.
I reckon that's the first thing they do. They have a chat to Narkle and also to Jordan Clark, who both would be disappointed with the game time they got this year, and that's because a bit of Cat stuff, but also themselves, I reckon. So you'd have a chat to them, and you'd have to guarantee them more, please, you know, stay, we want you to stay, we love you here, and you'll get more game time next year.
That's what they would have said to him this time last year, Bill, and probably the year before that as
well.
But
I think it's changed a bit now, Damo.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, okay.
I think the thing about the Cats that is intriguing to me, Purple, is I love Chris Scott. I love him as a bloke, and I think he's been an extraordinary coach of that club. And if he was sitting quietly talking to the three of us, and I say, like, that sentence I said before, Steve Hocking comes in and sharpens them up, he would turn to me and go, Bray, we've been pretty sharp. What we've done's been pretty good. You know, we just make the finals every year. We make prelim finals. We make grand finals. We're our record's actually pretty good. So you sort of feel bad saying anything negative about them because they have been extraordinary, the Cats, over an unbelievable amount of time. When everyone else goes up and down, they just stay at this extraordinary level. So we need to put that on the table.
You do, and bar for Dusty Martin again last year, yeah, in the grand final, yes, they probably get that flag. But I mean, I know the halftime margin was 15 points, but 45 seconds before that, it was 22. Yeah, it and Dusty kicked a point, then a goal. So it then became the 15 at halftime, and then there was no stopping them at that point, obviously, after what happened there. But had that scenario not unfolded, had Dusty not been Dusty, well, they probably win, you know, the 2020 flag, and we're not talking about this at all, are we?
Bit of work.
Well, it could be worse. You could be a fan of the Cleveland Browns, who have just lost their first round game for the 17th straight year, Purple.
And they were in front, were they, Jim?
But it was the Patrick Mahomes, Jim, and that can happen any given Sunday in NFL, as we know.
I don't care. The first round, they know, the players know that a year earlier. So you know it's coming up. Maybe get ready for it and see if you could just perhaps win it. How about that for an idea?
Well, they were ready for it. They just weren't ready for the genius it is, the other bloke, Mahomes.
Melbourne's biggest loss for the season, boys. What do you reckon it's been? Round 19, it was by 20 points to the Western Bulldogs.
To the Dogs.
20 points only. That's a good year.
It is going to be a cracking grand final. I cannot, at the moment, I can't tell you who's going to win it. Not that I could anyway, but just in your own head, I've got no one bloody comfortably ahead of the other. It's going to, I can't wait for it. Purple, great to see you. We're not putting buses anywhere. This is prelim final week.
It's all positive.
But I want photos of you having photos taken with people.
Good on you, lunches.
Damo's Recovery Session on Triple M's Rush Hour. Footy isn't footy without a hot 4-20. Find your favourite 4-20 in your local supermarket freezer aisle or convenience store pie warmer today.
Triple M's Rush Hour, JB and Bill. Coming up next, we're revisiting a moment from the Brownlow with you, Bill.
Oh, when I won.
No.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
It's not Incy Wincy.
It's not. It's Hugey Woogey.
On the listener app and on your radio, this is Triple M's Rush Hour with James Brayshaw and Billy Brownless.
Now, it's another Rush Hour Brownlow moment. This September, find your local bottle shop at thirstycamel.com.au.
Oh, yes, a Thirsty Camel. We've got a new sponsor thanks to the good people at Thirsty Camel, Jim. You can shop online, wine specials there. There's a Thirsty Camel near you.
I think that's a good word to describe our show.
What, Thirsty?
In September. No, Brown Low. Hit it, rabbits. Big Maxi Gorn and beautiful Jess coming to join us. Welcome, you two.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Now, you are one of the favourites tonight, Maxi. Have you got a speech in your pocket?
Yeah, I've been dropping my name around the Brownlow for about 4 or 5 years.
Nice.
And I finally listened.
Yes.
No, I haven't got a speech. I'm quietly confident about Clayton Oliver, to be honest.
Yeah, he'll have a very good night, no doubt about that. Before we get on to other things, I notice I haven't seen my nephew wander up the red carpet at any stage. Angus didn't get invited.
Don't hold your breath. I don't think he's coming, Angus, and he's very angry about it.
He'd be filthy about that.
Yeah, Jack Melksham got the nod over him, and
nice.
I'm pretty sure he thinks he may have had a better season.
Sucked in. Clayton Oliver, I think we got Bill over there with him.
Yes.
Take over, Fat.
Clary, how are you, mate? So you take a break now and have a holiday, go back to Dookie?
No, I'm getting two shoulder recos, so I'll be off for a while.
Two shoulder recos?
Yeah, my shoulder's pretty banged up, so I've got to get one done, then a couple weeks later get the next one done.
You're going to have to do a bit of work, Soph, to help him out, feed him and all that.
I've heard it's not good.
Good luck with that.
Two shoulder recos, Jim. I didn't know that.
Fat, what happened to your voice? That was when the footy was in Melbourne for September, and old Bins, he just gets a bit busy and the nights get a bit longer and the voice just disintegrated.
It does. I think I got through the week. Tom Mitchell won the Brownlow that night, Jim, with 28 votes. Steele side bottom second with 24. And then Angus Brayshaw, who didn't get invited, third on 21.
I know, he came storming home. I think about 18 of those votes were in the last sort of 3 or 4 weeks of the season. But interesting Brownlow this year, by the way. I don't know how they're going to do it. The Seven Network Haim will obviously be in control, but who wins it?
Well, maybe Marcus Bontempelli.
Worthy.
Yes.
Be a worthy winner.
Maybe him, or Ollie's going to get a lot of votes, but you think Petrarca and him would trade votes. So the other one who voted very well last year and won't have a lot of blokes getting votes off him is Jack Steele.
Yes, very good player too. No problem there. Yep. Now, Fat, a joke. Anything humorous?
Probably not, Jim, because I'm just looking at my phone now and there's nothing there.
Well, all week we're going to be playing Brown Low Moments, by the way, all thanks to Thirsty Camel on the Rush Hour.
Do you want to watch Billy's joke?
Have a listen to Bill.
When he thinks he's funny, Marco, have a look at the stupid head on him.
Just follow Triple M Rush Hour on Instagram and you can see Billy's joke every day.
For selfwealth.com.au, this is Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Bill. Tomorrow, Heath Shaw is going to join us because he's on the new SAS Australia, which is on the Seven Network.
It looks bloody tough.
Jeepers.
I wouldn't do it. No, I wouldn't do it, those reality shows. The best one is The Jungle because you don't have to do a lot of work, but that looked hard work.
Particularly when you're only on it for 3 days.
I was on it for 14, you flog. Hey, now, Jimmy boy. Last weekend, we were talking about the All-Ireland Grand Final because we've taken particular interest in Mayo and the Mayo curse, which has happened since 1951 because they played up a bit and there was a curse put on them. Anyway, they were in the Grand Final against Tyrone, Jim, okay?
Yes.
The All-Ireland Grand Final, and guess who won?
Who won?
Tyrone.
No.
Tyrone. Whatever their bloody name.
So, Bill, so the Mayo curse continues.
Well, it's their 11th defeat in a final, Jim, since 1951. So the Mayo curse continues. And we tried to tell that silly Irishman we had on Friday, Zach or Mark O'Connor or whoever it was. Michael Foley, same thing. Tell him there was a curse, but he said it was bollocks, Bill. We'll have none of this. There's no curse. Well, I reckon it continues, Jim, because that's 11 they've lost grand finals now. I'm on my way from misery to happiness. I love the Irish music. I love it, Jim. I love it.
That's the Proclaimers. They're from Edinburgh in Scotland.
Proclaimers are from Ireland, Jim, you fool's head. That's it. Good song, too. Righto. I got a joke here.
All right. Finish with something unfunny.
Probably.
End the day with a laugh. This is Billy's joke.
Oh, now I've got something for you. Breaking news, Jim. I don't know if you know, but John Travolta was, he's in hospital at the minute, suspected COVID-19. Did you hear about this?
Nope.
But the doctors have now confirmed that it was only Saturday night fever.
Oh, no.
But they can assure everyone that he is staying alive. Apparently, he had chills and they were multiplying.
Can't have any more of this. I can't listen to any more of this.
Saturday night.
Have you got any others?
Staying alive and chills that were multiplying. That's a banger. That's three bangers.
Movies that he was in. with names that apply to COVID. That's it, Bill. Yeah.
John Travolta, Jim.
That's it. Righto. So,
what's the other one he was on where they stabbed him? What was that called?
Pulp Fiction.
They stabbed him. Stabbed him with a needle. Then we went, there it is. This is all he had, a bit of Saturday night fever, Jim.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy. KFC Supercoach AFL is back. You could win the holy grail of fantasy footy and 50K cash. Play now, supercoach.com.au.